Blog Talk Radio.
The Consummate Fitness Professional, Part 3. Assuming that up to this point that you've chosen your path and why you've become a personal trainer, and you've gained credibility by getting educated, certification or degree, some kind of training, signifies that you are an expert in your field as a personal trainer. Now we've got to build your audience. After all, if you don't have an audience, you're not going to get paid, and you won't be successful in your career. Before we discuss building your audience, let's discuss what is your business model. It's important to know what business model means. The dictionary says, the design or the successful operation of a business, buying revenue sources, customer base, products, and details of financing. To break it down, identifying revenue sources. Where are you getting your money from? What's going to keep your business afloat? Your customer base obviously is going to be your clientele, the people that are going to be hiring you. That way you can get them their results and get them healthy and happy. What are your products? I'm not going to delve too much in beyond providing a service and personal training, but there are other things in your back end or other avenues that you can be able to look into, such as partnering yourself with supplement line or any kind of apparel. There are additional ways that you can be able to get income as a personal trainer. Heck, take this book, for instance, or other books that I have published. Books are another way to actually incorporate more of your expertise in your business model. And last but not least, details of financing. How are you going to get your business up and going? Obviously, if you want to get educated, you want to get your certification or your degree. You want a uniform, if you want tools and all those things that are necessary to run your business. That is a part of your business model. You want to make sure that you're running in the black and not the red. You want to make sure you're making money and not losing money. You have to be realistic in your business model. This is not a bunch of hocus-pocus mumbo-jumbo. You have to sit down and really write out exactly what is your business. Identify your revenue sources, your customer base, your products, and details of financing. Hopefully by now you've already determined your audience. We discussed that the last two times we've spoken. So now we've got to determine your work environment. I'm going to flip back and forth between the gym environment and the independent environment, meaning that you could be an independent trainer running on your own, whether you're renting out space in a gym or you're a mobile trainer that goes door to door or different areas to apply your business. I want to talk a little bit about the gym or the club or the fitness center. I want to kind of lump all those things together. Things like LA Fitness, 24-hour fitness, large chain gyms, where there is a team of personal trainers in each one of those. You'll work underneath the manager, or maybe you will become a manager. Either way, you're a part of a team of a large chain gym. The real advantage to this is, you have clientele everywhere, depending, of course, on how successful your gym is. Assuming that they're drawing in a good amount of people, you have lots of potential clientele. Not to say that you should just run up to somebody on a treadmill and say, hey, are you happy with the way you look today? No. Much as I said before, you're going to want to build relationships. You want to acknowledge people as they're coming in. Ask them how they're doing. Ask them what their goals are in there. And you don't really have to fish around. Be legitimate. Think of it as if you weren't on the clock. Not to say that you shouldn't go up with exact purpose, but in the same instance, you don't want to come over there and slap them aside their head with the fact that you're a personal trainer, that you're more of an expert than them. Not a good idea. The real disadvantage of working in a gym, club, or fitness center as part of a team is competition. Let's face it, there are a lot of great personal trainers out there. Chances are pretty likely that the company that you'd be working for is going to hire a lot of great trainers, including yourself. That gym is going to have only X number of members that are enrolled there, or X amount of people that come in through the door on a daily basis. If there's one or two personal trainers on the team, fantastic. But if you're dealing with a team of anywhere from about half a dozen to a dozen trainers, then the competition is definitely going to be stiff. In the same instance, you're going to want to work together as a team, so you're not going out to filch somebody's client or run in front of somebody else just so you can be able to get another client. You obviously need to work together because these are the people you're going to see on a regular basis, not just the client, but also the people that are on your team. So that's where the disadvantage lies. There's going to be competition. The next thing is you are going to run into a personal trainer that may not be all that great, or you may disagree with his philosophy. Either way, this could work against you. For instance, I'd worked with a personal trainer and gave very unsatisfactory service. And because of him giving unsatisfactory service, a lot of people had a very poor opinion of personal trainers in general. They felt that if personal trainers were all like this gentleman, why would they want to purchase any other personal training sessions from anybody else? This is where you're going to have to really stand out. You're going to have to provide something I haven't mentioned before, great customer service. A customer service is very simply treating the customers with the golden rule. I've heard of things such as the platinum rule and the silver rule and things like that. Let's just go ahead and say, treat them like you'd want to be treated. So whenever I approached people in the gym, I did so not with an agenda in mind, but just with a very basic hello. How are you? And engage in very basic conversation. And then watch it grow from there. So there is your disadvantages of working in a chain gym. Now let's look at something on an independent basis. There's so many variables, but I'm going to keep it down to the basics. As an independent personal trainer, you're going to have to really find yourself a place that you can call home. Whether you rent space from somebody or there's an independent gym that you rent out the area to use as a personal trainer, or if you're going to use your own company car or you travel from door to door or conduct your business at parks or recreation centers, these are things you're going to have to plan out ahead as an independent personal trainer. Once again, looking at your business model. That's going to be something you're going to want to figure out as far as details of financing. Because if you're an independent personal trainer, remember, there's going to be some kind of cost involved for you to continue to do business. So I worked as an independent personal trainer, and I did mobile training. I'd go to people's houses, and sometimes I'd have them come over to mine. Use caution on that. Thing is, it costs to get in your car, drive over to a person's house, and conduct business that way. Think about all the costs entailed. You're traveling or you're renting space. Think about the time involved for setting up, taking down, cleaning up. So, now that we got our location picked out, let's talk a little bit about money. I know it's unavoidable. I said, you shouldn't be in it for the money, but let's be real. If you're getting into it to donate charity or time, that's great for you. But I'm going to discuss exactly making a living, paying your bills, getting back from the business what you put in. And that's through money. In a chain gym, it's much easier for payments and costs. Most of the chain gyms, if you're working part of a team, will determine how much you are paid, whether it's a salary base or in most instances per client basis. When I worked for the chain gym, they had already established that a one-on-one session was going to cost for a half hour $47. I know, seems like quite a lot. Hang in there for a moment. For a full-hour session, it was $88. Once again, pretty stellar. Not too bad. These were rates that I did not choose myself. This was something they chose, and it was part of their business model. Based on my amount of clients that I would have and see on a daily basis, I met a certain quota. I would get 60% of all my earnings. That meant that I got 60% of that half-hour pay, or I get 60% of that hour pay. It would depend if I saw a person for a half hour or if I saw that person for a full hour. But if I saw nobody within a half hour or nobody within an hour, then guess what I got? A big fat goose egg. Absolutely nothing. Makes sense, right? Thinking about that same concept as an independent personal trainer, how much are you worth? You can really try to decide on your own if you wish, or you can do a little bit of research. Find out what is today's norm. What's today's normal for personal trainers getting paid? And then you can go from there. When I became an independent personal trainer, after I left the chain gym, I took the same cost it was per half hour or hour, and I just subtracted 40%. Because to me, I was already accustomed to a lifestyle in my personal life at that amount of money. I was actually pretty darn happy with that model. And the great news was the clients that followed me from the gym without me coaxing them were already accustomed to paying higher amounts. So you can imagine how ecstatic they were when I said it was going to be 40% less. So they were purchasing more sessions up front than they would normally do when I was at the chain gym. This can be a little bit of a lesson for you if you are making a transition from a chain gym to an independent trainer. Conversely speaking, though, I know there are some gyms out, and it's becoming more and more so these days, that you're paid a pretty substantially lower amount of money per hour. For instance, when I visited LA Fitness, it offered $12 per hour. And I felt slightly insulted that I was going to be devalued at that. I literally left my interview knowing for a fact that I would not work for LA Fitness after I'd worked for another chain gym for tons more money. So know your value when you are setting that in your hourly rates as an independent personal trainer. Stick to it. Whether you've got to put it down in print or a nice little brochure on our website, stick to how much you are per hour. You are a business. I want you to think of yourself as the CEO of your own company. Would you allow one of your workers to downsell or to devalue their service? So if you go into this business as an independent personal trainer and you determine that you're worth $50 per half hour, then by gosh, you stick to $50 per half hour. You're going to have a ton of hagglers out there. They're going to try to say, well, I've only got $20 per hour, or I can't afford that. Well, chances are pretty likely, if they don't have the money anyway, they're not going to afford it. If they have the money and they see the value in your service, they will make a way to make it work. Believe me, I've seen many people make it work. You got to know your value. Think about if somebody went into McDonald's and they came in and they put in an order for a Big Mac, large fries, and a giant Diet Coke. And they rang up the order at the register, and that person says, $10.15. I'm sorry, I don't know that I can afford that. I've got about $5. Do you think you can do that? I don't think it's very likely they're going to sell them that Big Mac, large fries, and gigantic Diet Coke. It just doesn't work that way. I want you to think of your services in the same regard. Don't devalue your service. I know you can't touch it like you can a Big Mac at McDonald's. You can't consume it like a Big Mac at McDonald's. But you're providing a stellar service. You're providing hope, and you're giving expertise in your chosen field to make sure that this person gets the results that they're looking for. So pick your rate and stick to it. As time goes on, you may find you have to adjust that. Maybe increase it a little bit more. Maybe decrease it. Try to stick with a specific value for a set period of time. At least test it out for your first 90 days and then adjust accordingly. But you don't want to be all over the map, because you may have a point where you have so many clients at different pay levels, that's going to be hard to keep track of that. My recommendation is research, see what's working right now, and then move forward. So now that we're talking about money, and we're talking about setting up a business, let's talk about it being an actual business and protecting your assets. Now, this is not a must-have, but I would say it is a good to have. Look into a limited liability corporation if you are an independent personal trainer. If you're working for a chain gym, chances are pretty likely they already have their own LLC. So you are protected by their LLC and possibly their own personal training insurance. Like we discussed in the last episode, you'll have your own personal training insurance, but if you also put that on your limited liability corporation, this will make you even safer. So in the instance that somebody hurts themselves and they decide to bring a liability lawsuit to you, then they're suing your company, not necessarily you. Here's why. So, as an LLC, you're making revenue by getting clients. Let's say you take a certain percentage of that and you pay yourself as an employee. You get to keep that money in your personal assets. The rest of the money is going to be kept into your business. It's going to probably pay for your gas, your uniforms, your education, things like that. If a person hurts themselves and they bring litigation on you, guess what? They can go after your company, but your personal things are going to be safe. Now, rest assured, I'm no lawyer. If you want to know more specifics on a limited liability corporation, I highly recommend that you get in touch with a qualified lawyer, find out what's going to work for your business model. Additionally, get a hold of a certified public accountant. They're going to help you figure out what are going to be some things that are going to be great for tax breaks for small businesses. And of course, you're going to want to eventually get yourself a business account. And getting all that juggled, you're going to want to really put that into your business model. What I did as a personal trainer is I just functioned as a personal trainer. I didn't have a limited liability corporation, so up till recently, when I had to publish some books, I wanted to make sure that my personal assets were protected. Now, moving on, types of training. Personal training has really evolved in the last 9 years that I've been involved in it. Personal training used to signify working one-on-one, one personal trainer to one client. That is my favorite model. I like to have that connection. I'd like to learn a little bit more about that person. I like to have that eye-to-eye contact and my undivided attention with that person. But I saw that by about 2008 to 2009, the economy shifted in America. What ended up happening is people had less discretionary expenses. So they started to look into cheaper ways of getting their health and fitness. And I'm not going to be angry at that. I'm a bargain hunter. So, as a personal trainer, you got to be ready to adjust to what's appropriate for the market. So I started seeing more couples. When you get couples together, that's where you give them a little bit of a price break. I know I said don't devalue your service, but in the same instance, if you've got two like-minded individuals and two like-gold individuals together in one spot, it's actually going to be pretty easy to manage for the most part. There are exceptions to that rule. And then what really started shaking things up was the boot camp model, the group training model. I was steadfast against this when it first came out. People were paying pennies on the dollar per hour to be trained in a larger group, typically anywhere from about 3 to 12 clients at a time. I didn't like it, but I saw that other trainers were becoming very successful with it. They were getting larger paychecks, and they were getting a raving fan base, people that absolutely loved them, and they were getting tons more referrals, not just for group training, but for one-on-one training and one-on-two training. So then I scratched my head and I said, gee, what gives? Well, think about this. If you have your normal hourly rate, we're just going to say it's $50 per hour, and if you were to train a couple, let's just say it's $80 per hour, which would be $40 per person. Then we look at the group training rate. And let's just say that it is $20 per person for the hour. If you have 12 people within the hour, you can make upwards $240 per hour for group training. This blew my mind. But it also made me realize that I had to kind of change a little bit of what I was doing as a personal trainer to accommodate a larger group. So what I did was I set expectations with the groups that I would work with, letting them know that, hey, look, if you really enjoy this group training, please keep in mind that I do have these alternatives of one-on-one personal training. You'll get my undivided attention, so on and so forth. And the greatest part was I had a lot of people that transitioned from group training over to one-on-one training. And here's the beauty of it. Some people that were in the one-on-one personal training decided to shift over to group training when they felt they couldn't afford it or when they just kind of needed some maintenance workouts. A lot of people really enjoy the camaraderie element as well. They enjoy having a large group of people and having an attaboy, get that encouragement from everybody. Building your clientele is going to be different from a chain gym to an independent personal trainer. As I mentioned, in a chain gym, you already have members that come to the gym. So thankfully, you've got a pool that you could be able to pull from. As an independent personal trainer, it's going to take a little bit more hard work in getting out there and really getting some clientele. The first thing is, this is going to apply to both chain gyms and independent personal trainers, is referrals. Who do you know that would be interested in your personal training service? Okay, so if it's weight loss, if it's muscle building, if it's marathon training, whatever your expertise is, you got to get to knowing other people and asking around. If you're an independent personal trainer, you're going to really want to get involved with social media, with talking around, going to network marketing meetings. I got really involved with a lot of the area business meetings. You can be able to find these types of things on a quick Google search in your area. Chamber of Commerce are really good. Some of them will offer 2 to 3 free visits, but you can at least be able to establish contact with some of the area people. Fair warning, Chamber of Commerce are not cheap to get involved with, but if you maximize the most out of their network, you can really see your business explode. This next episode, I want to discuss a little bit more about how we're going to retain clients, about advanced purchasing, and your cancellation policy, and establishing your web presence. And lastly, your marketing. I'll further go into the actual practice of personal training. In the meantime, thanks for tuning in. Join me tomorrow for another